The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Dangerous stuff, huh?
Down your hatchets.
It's time for the godfather of internet radio, the bard of broadcasting,
once again through the cyber waves and through the podcast waves. Hello, world. My name is Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, co-adorning the title of the show. On this show, Y2K plus 16, slated on the 17th of November. Mr. Tom Savino will be here shortly. Ah, yes. Huh? He's back. So am I. So are we. On the air tonight, Anything But Dead, with Dead Air Revival, some real radio history, and the most fascinating men on the internet. Ha! So wake up, it's night. On Cthulhu Chronicles, I will chronicle again. From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello, beneath the almost full supermoon. Beneath, I could see how it's cracked. It's not cracked is not the word. It's kind of faded, cut off the top, shaved perhaps off the top. No more supermoon. Bye-bye, supermoon. My name is Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. What a great show this is going to be for many reasons, and all of them are because of my guest and I, Mr. Tom Savino, who, of course, has a long history with moi. And he's going to be here shortly, and we're going to be playing for you and talking about the products of our original entertainment vessels. How about that? From way back in the 1970s. I know a lot of you people are young, and you don't know a world without the internet or without radio that just does this. But we have it. We'll show you. We will give it to you straight as we move along. So as I said, I'm here. Let me give you a couple of things before I call Mr. Savino, or we get in touch here and we start talking about these wonderful things and telling you how, you know, you're going to get free stuff. If you keep listening, free stuff. There's nothing like free stuff because the internet was built upon sharing. It's built upon getting free stuff. When the people who wanted to sell stuff came on board and ripped apart this free and handsome and pretty relationship that we had sharing things, then you had to buy it. So this is, you know, so the hell with the iTunes, the i this, the i that, and all the things stuff. Forget it, but forget it. We're going to tell you where you can get free stuff, great free stuff, just like this show, which continues, hopefully, for the rest of my life or whenever, until forbid, as the contractual phrase goes. And so what do I have to tell you about? I have to tell you about next week, before Tom gets here. Next week is Thanksgiving in the United States of America. I have been on every Thanksgiving night since before 9/11. It's all right, because the internet was hot and moving, and of course Cthulhu Chronicles was on way back then. The original, the one, the only. I'm still in character from something I did like you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes ago. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, what I'm saying is that I will be here. Digest your stuff, your meals, and you know, you're probably still eating in some time zones when I get on the air. So if you want to digest or continue to eat and bloat yourself, we'll be here on the Y2K Plus 16, 24th of November, in the evening, 9 o'clock p.m. This is our winter hours, even though it's fall, our autumn hours. Well, let's see, these are not our summer hours. That's it. These are the regular hours. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here, live. And then you know what to do if you miss any of this, or you want to hear it again, or you want to make a WAV file out of it and change my words around so I say ridiculous things. You can do that too. All free. Free. Sharing. Sharing over the mountain dune. You can do that. At any number of stations, just find out where the heck they're rebroadcasting this because it's all over the place. CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. That's where you get that. Now, I'm waiting for Swami Salami. My friend Tom Savino, my longtime friend Tom Savino, Swami Salami, to get online, because he's not online yet. He is 3 hours ahead of me, and I don't mean consciously. I mean, well, yeah, I mean in how the West was won, in how the Internet works. No, that's not the has nothing to do with the Internet. It has to do with time and its time zones. See, I'm looking for it right now along my... what's it called? Skype? Yeah, you hear the boiler and the water pump moving again here. Because this is it. You are here. When you come to Cotola Chronicles, you come into my world or I go into your world exactly the way it happens. What did I say? I said go there, November 24th, the Thanksgiving show, Popular Mechanics is what we're going to talk. I'm going to talk about Popular Mechanics. It's amazing how these things have changed over the years. And I've been saying I'm going to do this show. And I think that's a good time to do it. Now, you know, wherever we start, whatever we begin talking about can go anywhere. Some people call them rabbit holes. And I don't know why. I'll tell you why I don't know why. Because I have some holes around my lawn and my area that are, I mean, gopher holes are bigger than rabbit holes. And I think they're deeper and I think they move differently. Ah, here comes Swami Salami. And I'll call him. And I think, can I do that? Huh? What? I'm calling. Why isn't this one? Call Skype. Yeah. That worked. Yeah. Oh, that's loud. And so I'm calling Swami Salami, but I don't know why they call them. I think they call them rabbit holes. Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, then we got a conversation going.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Uh-oh. It still sound good. What?
Well, I've never, ever been asked for my password. Then I said, it looks like someone else is using your account.
Really?
You need a new password. I'm talking about Skype.
Yeah, is that does that have to do with this thing you and I talked about that's going around, this stupid little link?
It might be. Maybe. Maybe that's what's going on.
Well, you're not that late. I mean, everything's okay, right? It works.
Yeah, yeah. I had to change my password. And then I never use Yahoo, my Yahoo email anymore. But apparently when I signed up with Skype, it was on Yahoo. And
Because they anyway, change. They keep changing. You know, like Google owns this and then Yahoo owns that.
Yes, it's just, I don't know. So then Yahoo asked me for all kinds of security questions.
Wow. Well, I shouldn't say wow, because these are common things. They happen. You don't get notices, and these things happen. But you are here.
Here I am.
And you're okay, and that's good, because I've told everyone. Not, I didn't just tell everyone you were coming here. I promised.
Well, I was trying to reach you, and I said, well, he's on the air. I usually reach him. I can send him a message on Skype, but I can't get on Skype, so I can't.
Yeah, well, anyway. That's okay, because I had you as Swami Salami again.
Yes, that's another thing. They, the last time there was a big problem with getting on SRN because I updated my Apple operating system. It screwed up everything on Skype, and they took over my computer remotely and for 45 minutes, and
wow. They
fixed it, and they said, but you are Swami Salami. I said, I'm not TJ Savino. They said, no, you're Swami Salami. So,
you could sue them. That's your name.
Suing will be the new way of life in the new regime.
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't really want to get hanged up talking about that. We're gonna ignore it right now.
Okay. I'm up for ignoring it.
Yeah, I don't want to get you all upset anyway.
Yeah, I've been constantly upset.
You've been upset
for 8.5 days.
Yeah.
Eight and a half, like Fellini.
It's been a Fellini week for everybody. And that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't go with the camera because I figured we'd just talk because my camera is upstairs. And I'm, you know, I got a whole different thing because I recently, went to a solid state hard drive. I don't know if you know.
Oh, really?
Because my hard drive crashed. I guess that's the only word you can use, right?
Yeah. I remember you were off the air for a while, right?
Yeah.
For a couple of weeks or.
Yeah, it's crazy that show, but it's been 2016 was a horrible technical year too, but this thing works great. And then I recorded a different way, but I keep forgetting you have Mac. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's, but I figured, hey, we'll just talk and play things because we're going to play things.
Yeah. Let's play things.
But we're going to tell everyone what the hell we're talking about because this
just
came out of nowhere. And then I know there's people. I know I have mentioned this before to many people, but I got news for you. And I don't, you know, I know that people do other things, even if they listen to this show regularly. And they, you know, and I tell them to keep a notebook because. It's,
yes. Every time I listen to your show, you say, get that notebook out.
Because I tell them, and I've told them about Dr. Fablianic, and I tell them to write this down and do everything they need to do, because I'm, you know. But still, let's start this. I didn't think this was going to happen so soon, but since it did, you did a great job. I got to say, I don't know exactly what you did compared to the other guy. Let's give him credit, even though he was paid handsomely, I'm sure.
Yeah, yes.
What? Who is he?
Theo. Theo Karoulis, he lives in Sherman Oaks, California, and he's about our age, actually, and he's an old audio engineer, and he only works on old audio, as a matter of fact.
So he's one of the rare people left who can hold a reel-to-reel tape in his hand and go, I know what to do with this.
Yes, yeah.
and he has machines.
Say again, I didn't hear that.
And he has machines that can play them.
Yes, he does. Yeah. And as you know, a little bit of the story, he had some problems with it because it's so old. The tape is so old, 40 something years old. And the paper leader that was used for commercial breaks, it just dried out. So when he was running it through the machine, the paper would come off and then the tape would just be spilling all over the floor, and he'd have to kind of splice it and start over.
Now, you people writing this down, writing down stuff and going, well, what are they talking about, this reel, this thing, this tape? We're talking about audio.
Splicing, yeah.
Audio tape. Back in the days when there were no digital, ways to digitally record something. And, you know, that's not even so long ago. You know, tape has, I mean, doing it this way has advanced so quickly.
Yeah.
And so you people must have seen, a lot of you people know, I must have seen television shows or pictures of tapes and reels and tape recorders, machines, big bulky machines. And I had all these tapes, and I'm still missing. I don't know where those other ones are. We'll talk about that. I had all these
tapes. Yeah.
I had that, and I didn't know what they were, but they've been hanging around for a long time. And finally, Tom said, why don't we digitalize them? As everyone is doing, like people are doing this with, that guy must run a very productive business because people do it, does he digitalize everything? People are doing their scrapbooks, their old photos, everything, right?
Yes, he only does audio.
Okay.
And I found and here in on the West Coast in Hollywood Land here in Burbank and the area, there's a lot of these places around, and they do most of the other places do audio, video, photos, everything, and they were more expensive, believe it or not. But Theo was reasonable, and he only does audio, and I went with him.
And these people who do this now, eventually there will be no one who can do it. But, you know, I still see that you could buy reel-to-reels, like on eBay. There are people selling usable, workable reel-to-reels.
Really?
Sure. Just like now, after everything happened digitally with...
Yeah, everybody's going to vinyl, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could walk into Bamsters or Book Babbers or, you know, you walk into these places where they sell CDs and books and everything, and they have a whole section. Granted, it's not the greatest menu of discs, but they're selling discs and record players. You know?
Yeah, it's strange how things are, you know, going back. And as Dee was saying, everything is old as new again.
But they're the anomaly, though. Well, you know, the mainstream turns into the anomaly and backwards and forwards. Well, anyway, you people, here's what I'm talking about, listeners. Tom and I are going to talk about, before we play you, some of the restored things that we have. This we're also going to tell you where to get it. I promised everyone at the top of the show, I said, there's free things for you people. This is like the old internet. Free.
Bam. Yeah.
Free. We'll give it free. Not like those, those corporate mongrels that came in here and ruined our sharing. You know, in the beginning, in the beginning, that's what it was all about here. But we're not going to go into that either. But we're going to go way before there were, anything digital. What was digital back then? A watch? A clock?
Back in the 70s?
Yeah, we're talking about 74, right?
72 and 74.
There you go.
What are we? Actually, 72 is when we were doing our college show. So it was so dead air, you know, the demo box casino loop version of Dead Air was like 74. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need to tell you people is here's what happened. Tom and I, who were I think the band had broken up by then. We were in music together for the longest time, and then we got together for comedy. Do you remember how that happened? School?
I do, you know, going back over the tapes and one of the episodes more of Dead Air is actually our college radio Dead Air.
So this just began.
Which started on WNYT at the New York Institute of Technology, NYIT. And we were actually DJs. We were playing music, and then we played less and less music and joked around more and more, and eventually we just got rid of the music and did it entirely comedy.
I wonder. Yeah. I don't know if station if I wonder if because radio has changed so much. I wonder if. Colleges have stations, but what Tom is talking about is, of course, we went to the same college, and the college had a radio station, and that radio station was only broadcast inside of the campus. I got to call it a campus.
Our campus was actually Central Park, but
right,
and but our it was broadcast within the building. Period.
So,
but you know, the Westbury campus, they actually broadcast. In the area in Westbury, but our Manhattan campus was only in the building.
And we eventually, we went from there to, this is weird too, because our radio partnership starts in New York. That's usually where it ends up for people, you know?
Yeah.
We went backwards. Yeah. And so we're in school in New York, and we're in the college station, which we adapt to very easily. I guess that's when we realized we could toss lines together. You know, I played some of these. I played some of the college stuff. I didn't even remember when I sent you all those tapes that there was such a variety of venues for the show and what things we did. And I thought everything came. I thought it was just those shows. I didn't know what we have outtakes. We have a whole series. We're going to play some of the Redumbos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The outtakes surprised me. I didn't know I was going to hear some outtakes.
It all surprised me. I thought there were all the shows, just the syndicated ones that were written and what have you and edited and produced. But there's a lot of other fun stuff there. But like I was saying, what happens is we start out in college and then we move to a New York, late night New York. What was the name of that station? What was the name of the live station in the middle of Monday night?
We did Princeton, New Jersey on the Princeton campus.
But I was going to get to that after.
That was the WHBI.
HBI, that's right. There was a station called HBI and it was just a renegade New York station. And if you had a couple of sponsors and people, you could come on and they would give you I think I've told this story based on the adventures we had with the engineer at that place.
Oh yeah. The 7-second delay, yeah. Which is, he's like sleeping or playing cards or whatever.
But we got
I don't know what the hell he was doing. And we get these calls that should have been stopped. And he didn't stop them. That was interesting.
There was so much.
We got a call once from a hermaphrodite. That was interesting.
Which we had to believe because we couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But anyone, we got a lot of crazy calls. But, you know, talk radio was big then anyway. And but my point is, you know, I'm just sketchy. I'm just sketch this quickly, then we get into details. So we are on HBI, which is all over the city. Anyone who can pick it up who has a radio. But then we went to a college station that was actually, it wasn't just a campus station. That was Princeton.
Princeton. That was a WPRB.
Princeton, New Jersey, WPRB
FM.
I don't remember where they heard about us or what happened. Do you remember any of that stuff?
No, I don't. But did we play there as a band? Or we played at Columbia as a band. I know that. Oh, we did. No. You know what? I'm sorry. What? I was in a band before Wonoco, and we played Columbia. Yeah, for some reason, Columbia University loved the surf music that we had. So,
I don't remember how we got to WPRB, but we were with. That's when we used to go to. You know, every time I go to work in New Jersey, we pass the. I drive past the Allen. What was the exit? And what was the town where the boys lived? And now, it's amazing. We should know this stuff. We should know this stuff. The Chapman brothers.
Ed and Robbie Chapman.
There you go. Ed and Robbie Chapman.
I don't know. It was a nice area there. I remember.
It is. Tom and I hooked up with these producers, these kids out there, and these kids were relatively well off, and they had this beautiful recording studio in their basement. And we went there did we ever go there to go music? Oh no, we met Ed because of school and he was in our college.
Yeah. Yeah, he went to NYT.
This is why, listen, I keep telling you young people, this is why you can't just stay in the house. You never know who you're gonna meet. You gotta get out there. You'll meet people. Things will happen, all right? People are gonna come to you. And so we met him and he was listening to us on the school radio. And then he was in our course, our communications course, I guess. And somehow we hooked up with him and somehow I was like, will you do things for us? And then we started doing shows and bits and stuff, right? Is it?
Yeah, we started there. I don't remember how we, switched over to, Demo Box in Brooklyn.
But Princeton was all the stuff we did at, what was the name of this studio? Did they have a name?
Yeah, they did have a name, but I don't remember. And I don't remember the name of the town either. Was it New Brunswick?
No, it was Allen something. Allenbury. Allen.
Oh, yeah. Allen. Yeah. You're right. It was Allen.
It wasn't
Allentown?
No, it wasn't Allentown. That's Pennsylvania.
Allendale.
Allendale. You know what we must sound like to people? We're talking about stuff in the 70s. We don't really sound like we're sitting in rocking chairs. But it's like, you know, so when you get, this is why I have Molotov memoirs. There's no way to remember details. I'll just make them up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's more interesting that way. It's tough to remember specifics. And you know, when I was listening to some of these, we'll be going back and forth here, friends. So just stick with us and we're going to play you something right off the bat here. But when I was going to listen to them, I was, you know, I put headphones on. And my boys were around and everything. And I felt I was going to be embarrassed,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, yeah. You know, it was like, I don't know. What did we do? What happened? Who, you know, who are these people? Well, that's what I found out. I was so separated from who we were at the time. And then I remember, and I think I had told people here before you were on, when one time you weren't on or what have you. But what really started this for me again was I saw this TV show that came on called Angie Tribeca. Was that it?
Oh, yeah.
And I told all my friends of it because they were talking about Angie Tribeca, you know. This is Steve Carell and his wife, right? Isn't that who did it?
Yeah.
I can't even remember then. I'm trying to remember the 70s. And Angie Tribeca comes on. And I saw this one, and I was watching it with my sons. And I said, damn it. I said, I was like really pissed. And one of my sons said, what? I said, that's really funny. I said, yeah. I said, but Tom Savino wrote it. I said, and I even heard a couple of mine lie. I said, you have no idea. I couldn't even explain to the kids what it was talking about. And,
yeah.
It was this, and as I was started to put in some of my blurbs, I love the blurbs you wrote and we'll tell people where they can find out about that shortly. But the thing is, I said, you know, so I listened and I was shocked because I wasn't embarrassed after having seen Angie Tribeca and realizing that, you know, these guys were seven. I'm not saying, by the way, anyone that this was stolen. I don't even think Steve Carell was in a crib, probably.
yeah, that's interesting. When you told me about Angie Tribeca and I saw it, I said, this is so
I know.
Like
so I called, I got in touch with Tom and I said, you've got to, you know, congratulations on your new television show because it's terrific. And, it was amazing and it didn't stop for all the other ones I watched. It was just one thing after another. So people, if you don't know Angie Tribeca, I tried to describe this to people when they thought it was new and refreshing. And I said, it's really not new and refreshing. It could be refreshing, but it's not new. And it's a sort of, and I started telling them, you know what it is? It's sort of ADD comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's attention deficit comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it is. Because at any given point, you could take something literally, move to the left, break through the fourth wall. For God's sakes, there's a fifth wall there. It's radio. And you just do, and you move along, and it's just amazing. So I had listened to one of the first things I listened to again was, and I thought this was in the regular series, but it wasn't. Because we were doing, at Sheridan Elson, which is...
Yeah.
A public relations place where Tom and I worked. And boy, we could tell you stories about that place. we'll do one day.
That.
Yeah, cause they must be dead, those guys. We'll do that show and tell you about that. The point is that when we'd stay late and we'd do these bits and edit them and put them together. And one of the bosses found out about it. And what he called, you remember what he called them?
Was it the idiot show?
Yeah, the idiot tapes. You guys stay late last night and do idiot tapes?
You guys are doing idiot tapes. It was Bob, wasn't it? I mean,
Bob Ellison
Bill.
Was.
Bill, no, Bill.
Yeah, it was the other guy.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, Bill
was
Sheridan.
It Bob and Bill? But it was Bill.
Bill Sheridan.
Did all those. You guys. All those TV commercials.
I used to do idiot tapes. He goes, I used to do idiot tapes too. And here we were. We weren't in the business, but we had no idea that was the name for what we were doing.
we stayed after work to do because we had free studio. You know?
Right, we got free studio time there in New York, in Manhattan, in a big PR place. You know.
Yeah.
So no, here's my point. The point is that I heard Magnet, And I didn't realize that, and a couple of stuff we did, a couple of the videotapes, a couple of the,
close the door.
Yes, did you keep the camera?
A couple of the routines we did, we had done there. It wasn't at Chapman's. It wasn't at the New Jersey place.
Yeah, some of the that was at the Sheridan Nelson.
Right. I didn't remember.
And we had these two professional actors on that.
That's right.
And we can't remember their names.
We know their first
names.
One
I think was Charles or Chuck or something.
Chuck. Yeah. What the hell did he do over there? Did he do commercials and stuff? Right.
He did commercials and he did a lot of voiceovers.
He was old then. He was old then. Yeah.
Yeah.
And old and famous. And he had to be, he had to make money because he had an office in an office building in Manhattan. That's, even then it was expensive to keep that.
And especially in that area.
And the girl, Susan, whatever her name might have been.
Yes. Hold on one second, Frank. Talk to the audience. Hold on. I'll be right with you.
I'll be talking. Okay. So, and by the way, audience, my friends, my comrades, this is a Cotola. It's on the Cotola Chronicles. I'm Frank Cotola, Mayor's name, doing the title show. And Tom Savino is with me. Of course, he's Savino Veritas. And you probably, it's amazing that you people only know Tom from Savino Veritas, which returns to SRN Media Works and is available free for all you other stations. But it's live. It'll be returning in December after a hiatus.
Yes, I'm back. And so was that truck that went by, back December 1st. Yeah.
Yeah. So he'll be coming back. I'm just saying there's people out there only know you from that. And here we are talking about, our, endeavors that go back to the, 70s. And these people can only read about the 70s or watch Ant TV or something. Right. Remember that?
Yeah. Ant TV?
Isn't that Antenna TV?
Antenna TV.
MeTV. They're all these.
MeTV. I was just watching MeTV.
There you go.
I was watching Andy Griffith.
Wow. Those are difficult. Those are more difficult to watch than it is to listen to Dead Air.
Yes. Anyway, I was really pleased myself, if I do say so myself, when I heard the episodes. It was fun to do and really, I hope people enjoy it.
And even if people don't enjoy it, it'll be fascinating to hear what people think of it, especially people, humor has changed in so many ways. And we weren't allowed to really do anything, specifically filthy or dirty, or even suggesting. I was talking the other day, someone was mentioning something that I'd done with Wolfman. I said, we got thrown off of radio stations for that. And this is all before the whole, Howard Stern and everything, before everything just hit the fan.
Yeah.
We couldn't even insinuate certain things, we'd get into trouble. And then it turns out in the history of the show, which we'll tell you about, later, it turns out we get into trouble naturally. Nature plays a very nefarious role in the metamorphosis of the show, Dead Air.
Yes, So what are you gonna play first?
I had I got the ones you sent me on. I got I got two computers here, but I got this on here. First, I want to play everyone. Who's wait a second? Hello. my son, who's he was home. He wasn't
that
home.
Ray?
No, the other guy.
Jeff.
What's his name? I'm at the point where I call one the other and the other. I'm gonna start by playing there were two themes. But there was only one original theme. When we went to a syndicated program, which for those of you who don't understand is a program that you produce, send out, you would send it out to all sorts of stations. They would pay something, and then they'd put in their own commercials and make money. Okay,
right.
That was the move. So Dead Air had the evolution of all the different radio stations and things we did, and finally got to that. I also talked about us a while back when Joe Franklin died.
Oh, yeah.
because we were on that other show. We were on the guy, there was actually a, there was, there's always laughed. I, this always made me laugh that there was someone who was less than Joe Franklin. I mean, he was like the other guy. Like today, if you have Jerry Springer, you'd have, then you have somebody else. He was a spinoff.
Yeah.
Remember? Do you remember his name? We were on his show live.
Oh my God, that's right.
Roblin? Was it? No, that's another. I don't remember.
Well, you know, I totally forgot that until you mentioned. Until you reminded me. Didn't we like just walk in?
No, we did guest spots. Somebody got us the gig, and we showed up along with, you know, two jugglers and three. It was like the bunch of people.
Yeah.
It was like the bunch of people that when Woody Allen played that manager in New York and he had all these crazy acts. It was
As a matter of fact, whenever I see that movie, it reminds
I know! It's like, they were the craziest people trying to make money doing any kind of what they called entertainment in New York. And this guy had a radio.
Yeah. Was it cable TV or was it,
It was cable TV and radio. It was cable TV and radio. And,
Well, somebody will get that.
That's you? Yeah, we got all sorts of activity going on. Something going on upstairs
here,
too.
Yes, it's variable. So it's almost like a soupy set. You know, listen, our show did have a little taste of soupy sales, a little bit.
Yeah, as hard as it was to do slapstick on radio.
Characters coming in and out.
Yeah, we did it. We did with that. Oh, here's what the first thing I just wanted to play a little bit. I was going to do this right at the top, but I didn't, is... you did a great edit there with the theme song. What I was saying is that when we got to do when we finally started producing these things and we wrote the stories into whatever it is we did, audience, my friends, and you all my friends, we produced our own music and we wrote our own music so that we wouldn't get into trouble because in those days, you know, there was such a thing as copyright.
Yeah. That's right. Things have changed a lot.
And so if Tom and I did something, we would write original music for themes and stuff, but we also, when we mocked is not the word, when we parodied various TV shows, we had to rearrange, write our own song that sounded like, a little bit like the song that was the theme of the show, because themes were very popular in those days. But the theme of our show, and I didn't think you'd remember the title, but you did.
Ducks on Parade.
Yeah. Every time I ever heard that, I said to myself, that is like, is there a more, there's no other title for it. I mean, it is like, that's perfect.
Yeah. You know, as I recall, we didn't have a name for the theme. And like, I think we just, so somebody, Frank or somebody, said, you know, it kind of sounds like Ducks on Parade.
See what happens. That's what happens with history. Because you know, two people, three people could be in the same place at the same time. And 40 years later, fast forward, we don't know what really happened anymore with anything. Because I don't know. I don't remember how that happened. But here is the Tom Savino, Frank Tolo theme. Called Ducks on Parade. This is short and it's a little cut up. But remember this evening that a lot of the stuff you're going to hear is going to have questionable audio here and there. It might sound a little weird. It's all mono now too, right?
Yes. Okay. Well, when I reworked it, it's in stereo, but it's like Beach Boy stereo, you know.
A little echo and stuff.
Like the same. It's basically... It's kind of mono coming out of two different
kind
speakers.
Of mono. Okay, well,
it's not like a different sound coming out of each speaker, but I made it so that it's stereo. It's not going to matter.
Okay, so here's 20. This is only 26 seconds of Ducks on Parade, and then we'll get into. I got a couple of other pieces. We'll do some Redumbo. We'll talk about the show, and we'll do some character stuff. Here's Ducks on Parade. I hope this isn't too loud. That's good. Yeah. it faded. There's more to it, but that's the main theme. That's because
that
happened.
Well, there's, I, unfortunately, I was not able to hear it.
You didn't hear that?
No, I hear you.
You didn't hear that?
I did not hear that.
How could you not hear that if it's on? It's coming through your speaker. Here.
You're definitely coming through.
So you don't hear this. Okay. Be very quiet. Let's see if Tom, can hear this. You don't hear that?
I don't hear that. No.
How the hell is that? There's a microphone on
it. I wonder if it's my setting. Let's see.
I have two microphones on. One of them is on the sound source, which is coming out of speakers, and that one, that's how you're coming out of that same thing. You should be able to hear that. Now this is very weird. You don't hear this. Here.
I do not hear, no.
Now why would that be if you could hear my microphone and that's in the air of the studio? Don't you hear that?
That's weird. I don't know. You know, this happened to me once when I was interviewing someone on Skype and she was not able to hear the audio. She was able to hear me. I was able to hear her. Everyone was able to hear us, but she was not able to hear the audio.
This is mic'd, just like I'm speaking. I'm speaking into a mic and you hear me. This mic that you're speaking into is right next to the speakers that is playing.
Oh, so wait, you're playing the audio on your mic?
Yeah, on a mic. Can you hear that? Listen to this. Can you hear this?
Yes, I can.
Well, the speakers are right here. And it's coming out of that. Wait, it's coming out of that same. It's coming out of that. this is stupid.
This is weird.
And have we come this far with audio progression, technical progression, that we can't even pick up a sound coming into a mic?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I just.
You still there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. So there.
But you can't. I just changed something on my setting.
Can you hear this? Do you hear that?
I can hear that now.
Okay. So you see it was you. It was you.
I had it. I had it on just the Skype. It says same as the system setting. Same as system. I changed it to built-in output headphones.
I'm sure everyone out there is going, I need, of course. I had to figure that out. And then there's other people going, well, what do you want? He's got a Mac. It's got a Skype and Mac and stuff. This is Cthulhu Chronicles, and the original two people are here. Before I omebid into one, I was a part of this with Mr. Tom Savino, who returns to his live Savino Veritas, which follows this show live on Thursday nights. And any of you stations out there who are picking up shows or need time or what have you, you can also get it at juicedtalk.com. Now, these dead air shows, of these things that we're talking about, which we're going to be playing some for you, that was just a theme. Can you hear this? Do you hear that?
I just heard, like, just a split second of it. What was that?
Can you hear it now? Talk over it.
Oh, you're coming in and out.
You heard that, right?
I heard only what? Intermittently.
Well, intermittently, I turned it off.
Okay.
Look, it's here. It's coming on now. Count to 10. It'll still be on. Are you ready?
Yes.
That was 16 seconds of it. Did you hear 16 seconds?
I didn't hear anything of it. Nothing. You know, I'm wondering, maybe I should get my phone.
How is that possible?
That's bizarre.
You're talking.
You're telling me that you are playing the audio on the same mic that you're speaking in.
This mic is picking it up, yes. They're right. Yes, the speakers are right there. You know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to do a little experiment here. You people.
Well, Frank is rearranging the audio equipment. I'll just say that. Oh no! Wait. Now I hear.
Can you hear you?
Yes, I heard me delayed.
Hold on. Well, they're both.
I hear me delayed.
Delayed?
Which is, yeah.
Okay, now I'm holding the mic here. Now listen. Now, listen to this. Listen, tell me if you can hear this. Here comes once again Ducks on Parade, which now that you people listening have heard about 13 times, Tom is going to hear, I think, for, here goes.
Not hearing it at all.
You hear that, right?
No, I didn't hear it. You know what I could do?
You don't hear that?
No, I didn't hear it.
Hey, no, wait, this is impossible. You hear this? You hear this? Sound, the sound. It's sound. It's coming out of us bigger. It's like there. If you could hear my voice, how could you not hear this?
That is really bizarre. I hear it. I heard it.
How close do I have to put this? Okay.
There it is.
Now you heard it.
Yes.
Wow. I'm just going to hold my mic, and I'm going to drop the mic right in front. I don't know why the other mic isn't picking this. Wait, let me ask you something here. You know, people are used to this because we don't, you know, a lot of people, you know, they edit the show, they go ahead, they rehearse, they do whatever they're doing. You just hear whatever. Now I'm going to turn off this mic, the one I'm talking into right now. And then you tell me if you could hear my voice from the other mic as I yell out, okay? You ready?
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, I hear you.
Do you? You can hear
me. I hear you.
You can hear me now, right? Right?
Yes, I can.
Well, then why can't you hear when I put on something?
That's bizarre. That's really bizarre. You're not putting me on, are you?
No, I wouldn't do that because we only have a certain amount of time. What do I want to do? Have an entire show testing mics? the people can they'll hear things. And you'll hear things as it's off mic here, but let me put this back. This is weird. I don't know about that. Here I am saying, you know, some of the tapes we're going to play you are questionable in sound. And then the live show is questionable. Jeez.
So
here we are almost an hour into it and we haven't played anything except a little bit. Of the theme song,
we might have to make this a two-parter.
Yeah, it could be. After we'll come back to it again after Thanksgiving, because next week I'm always on Thanksgiving night, you know, and everybody stays home. But you'll be there. What are you doing Thanksgiving?
Well, I'll be here, but we have no great plans.
All right, we'll see what happens. We'll work it out.
Okay.
We'll work that out. In the meantime, in between time, why don't I try, even if it's just for them. Oh, boy. I'm going to put on some Rodumbo. Now, why don't you tell the people what I'm talking about when I say Rodumbo?
Yes, let me explain. One of our regular bits, which started, I think, you know, even before the syndicated thing, was little parodies of television shows, and we called the whole bunch of them Wasteland Playhouse. And if you've any old FCC fans out there will know, or who was that guy, Marshall McLuhan?
Marshall McLuhan.
Because he called television a vast wasteland. So anyway, the name of our thing was the Wasteland Playhouse, and we would feature different parodies. We had parody of what the hell is that lawyer?
Perry Mason.
Perry Mason, but ours was Mason Dixon. We had Sea Hunt parody, which ours was Sea Search, and we had a parody of the very famous Columbo, Columbo the detective, and ours was Rodumbo the detective.
Now what's amazing to me, because I talked about MeTV, you know, the TV station, cable TV stations that play these shows, drama shows and comedy shows and sitcoms from the 70s. Otherwise, these people have no idea what they're talking about. I told my sons, I said, you know, when we did Sea Hunt, but we did Sea Search, we did the Half Nelson, and they went, Daddy, you okay? they have no idea. They don't even know Lloyd Bridges.
That's right.
You know?
They probably don't.
This is how far we are from the generation that knows the so to them it's, you know, it should still work because it's just stupid, funny stuff. But yes. So the parody part of it gets away from them because they don't know the show.
Well, I just before, so we're going to, which one are we going to play?
Okay.
Which we're done about?
It's only the one tape is, I don't have to play all 20 minutes, but there are segments.
Okay.
It's the Redumbo series. The entire series is whatever we did. How many did we do? 8? 9? It goes for 20 minutes.
Are you talking about the, now, because we have that one whole tape. One whole tape was for Redumbo. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I have the Redumbo.
I think there were 9. It was a serial of 9 very short episodes, but yeah.
And what's really, now, here's what I noticed when we were listeners. I was really laughing because did we do this just live? Because there's no cuts when we break the fourth wall or we just do them. So was this done, live like at,
I think we did those at Princeton, WPRB.
Live?
We did it live.
Yeah, just off of scripts. Yeah. So that's why this has some, memorable moments because we're reading skips, scripts and trying to stay in character. And, Tom plays the, infamous, the iconic Redumbo. And any of you people who know the Columbo series or know the actor Peter Falk, who played Columbo. And I'm just going to play some stuff. I hope you can hear it, Tom. I'm going to put this up here. And
well, the last test you did, I was able to hear it.
Okay, so. Then I'm going to put this mic up here. And,
You're going to
hear. So let's play some Redumbo from what year? 70 what, do you think?
This one might be 72 or 73, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll play a couple of these episodes and we'll come back. Well, first of all, how am I going to know if you can hear them? the people will hear them. I could play some. Here, wait a second. Can you hear this? Can you?
I can't hear it.
You heard that?
No. All I hear is you.
You didn't hear Ducks on Parade that time?
No, I didn't.
People are having deja vu now. Hold on. Hold on. You heard that?
Okay, I heard that very clearly.
Okay, then I'm going to put the microphone up here. I'm going to make this lower, and I'm here, and you're going to... Okay. Here we go. Everyone, here's Tom Savino and Frank Izzold, two people we thought we knew. And... Either that or maybe it's our hearing. I mean, we're a lot older. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Redumbo.
And now it's time for the next exciting episode of Redumbo, the Everyday Ordinary Police Lieutenant. We last left Redumbo in Hawaii.
Those grass skirts,
Wanna look?
Oh, no. Do it again.
Redumbo? Redumbo, there you are. I've been looking all over for you.
Hey, police captain.
Yes, that's right, the captain. Listen, I've been looking all over for you. You know, back in California, we had phone calls. We must have a gigantic bill out there trying to call you everywhere.
How'd you get here?
Well, listen, I got an important lead for you, and I had to find you. So I figured I'd...
Wait a minute. Here I am in Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking for the oil man's assistant, you know?
That's why...
By the way, they got me on this dumb game show. You ever see that game show?
Listen,
I won a lot of money on that thing.
Listen, Redumbo.
You know, it's worth more than me on a police force here.
Listen, Redumbo.
I mean, more than your dirty salary,
listen,
you giddy.
Redumbo.
I gotta stay here.
Listen! That's how I knew you were here. I saw you on that show, and I said, that's where he is, the fool. He should be chasing the wealthy oil man's assistant. Now, listen, I got a great lead for you.
Yeah, what's the lead? Tell me the lead, eh?
There's going to be a wealthy oil man's assistance convention in Venezuela. You got to go there right now. I got your plane tickets right here. You get on this, and you'll be on your way to Venezuela.
In Venezuela, eh?
Every wealthy oil man's assistant will be there. And this is your chance to get him. This is your chance to finally nab him, Redumbo.
Hey, did you see the part on the show when I answered that question?
Oh, this is taking us. Listen, Redumbo, I got to get back. After all, the music isn't here anymore, and I don't want to stay in Hawaii without the music. So let's just get out of here.
Yeah, but there was that time. Wait a minute.
I'm leaving, Redumbo.
I don't care. Ask me the I made $3 million.
How far you trying to stretch this out, Redumbo? I'm leaving.
You gonna let me do the rest of this thing
I'm
alone,
not gonna
eh?
Let you do any more because the next episode, we'll go into the next episode and before that.
So wait a minute, tell me more about this Venezuela guy here.
You gotta go to Venezuela, Redumbo. That's all there is to it.
Tune in for the next exciting episode of Redumbo as Redumbo heads for the Wealthy Oil Man's Convention in Venezuela. Once again, it's time for the next exciting episode of Redumbo, the everyday ordinary police lieutenant from Los Angeles. Redumbo is now on the boat headed for Venezuela. He was recently in an argument with a wealthy oil man's assistant as to whose room it was.
Besides the fact that I'm sick, I gotta hear these dumb whistles here. What is this? You know,
Redumbo.
By the way, listen. I'm sorry about the argument last week, right?
Well, I'm not. First of all, it wasn't last week. These episodes are supposed to be like minute after minute.
I'm sorry for the argument last minute.
Listen, Redumbo.
Yeah, what do you want?
I've tried and tried. You kept me up all night here talking to yourself and about your wife. I don't care. Now, I was nice to you. I let you get away with staying here tonight in the room. But now...
Hey, listen. I'm gonna get... I appreciate what you did,
all right, but now I want to get the captain and settle this thing once and for all.
Okay, all
right. I called for him a minute ago. He should be walking through that door any second now. Yeah. That door.
What do you mean we're gonna decide who... Whatever he is now.
All right.
Yeah, come on in.
Captain? Would you come in?
Captain's awfully slow, you know?
My name is... Leslie Nielsen. I'm the captain of this ship, Captain Nielsen.
Yeah, well, listen, now, Captain. Hey, wait a second.
What is it?
Well, you look awfully familiar. No, I hear you have... Do anything in the movies or something?
No, I hear you've had a discrepancy over whose room this is.
Yeah, well, he says over there it's his room.
Well, I have a thing here says it's room 342. And yeah. I'm in room 342.
You see, I got a thing
now,
here.
Wait a second.
Captain, I got a thing that says here.
Let me tell you something, boys.
Yeah.
I've been the captain of many, many ships. And...
Oh, wait a second. You look awfully familiar. I'm sorry. You know, I don't mean to, like, say, you know, you said I don't... Have you done any movies or anything like that?
Nothing I want to talk about. Anyway...
Do you know Shirley Winters?
No, of course not. I don't know her. Oh. Now, listen,
She's really great. You know, I've seen her in a lot of things.
Why are you talking about Shirley Winters?
I don't know.
Why do you bring that name up?
I don't know.
Listen, I've been the captain of many ships.
I've seen Gene Hackman, you know?
Gene Hackman? What do you know about me?
Hey, wait a second.
What do you know about me?
You're the guy from that thing, the ship that sank.
No, I'm not. It's a lie.
Hey, that's the ship
I'm not it. It's a lie. I never did. I couldn't help it. It was so big, the tidal wave.
Oh,
I couldn't
help
it. It came in. It took us all. I got out. It's all right. I couldn't help it. I can't help it. Okay.
Be with us next time to see if Redumbo sinks or swims. It's time once again for the next exciting episode of Redumbo, the everyday ordinary police lieutenant from Los Angeles. As we last left Redumbo, he was on a boat headed for Venezuela. As he met the captain, he realized the boat was headed for trouble. We now take you to that boat.
I don't understand. You know, I come to this boat here. First, my captain tells me I gotta go to Venezuela for the oil man's convention. I meet this dumb oil guy here. And what the hell's going on now? Hey, what's going on?
Hey. Hands up!
What do you mean, hands up?
Hands up!
What do you mean, hands up? I'm a police lieutenant. You're under arrest. You got a gun. Give me that gun.
Okay, come on, get him. I'm gonna get out of it because they're gonna get him out of
here. What's going on here?
We are hijacking the ship.
What do you mean you're hijacking the ship? This ain't a plane. It's a
ship. Yeah, come on, get out of here. Get out of here. Let's go to Cuba. Cuba, going to Cuba.
Wait a minute. You're going to Cuba.
Captain.
Hey, wait a second. Hold on a second. You hijacking this boat to Cuba?
See.
I don't think I'm going to like this very much. You know, I don't... Hey, wait a minute. No, wait. It could be good.
Are you the captain of this ship?
No, I'm not the captain. I'm the captain.
Where's the captain?
I don't know.
Ship.
He jumped off. He left me in charge. I'm the only guy here.
All right, tie him up. Tie him up. Quick, tie him up.
Wait a second.
Tie him up.
I got to go to Venezuela. Could you stop me off there, maybe, and then go to
Cuba? Senor, we are sorry. We're going to Cuba to take this ship to Cuba. Well, someday we will rule the world. To Cuba we go.
All right,
sweetie.
Listen.
As long as we're going to Cuba, you think maybe I can pick up, at least get me some cigars. You know, my wife used to buy me these cigars from Cuba. Senor. They were illegal. I won't say nothing. In America, they were illegal.
Well, we settled it to the side here.
Okay, can I get some?
Dollar cigars, right here. Dollar cigars.
I got $14. How many cigars can I get?
I got some cigars. Ice cream right here. Dollar cigars. I'm going to give you all the cigars, and we got to come right now for the cigars that you're going to get for the year.
Tune in next time when Redumbo buys his cigars and tries to get out of this big jam.
Okay. Hold on. Are you there?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. Interesting, though. What happened was after the first theme of the first little bit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I stopped hearing you, but I went on SRN1.
Oh God!
And I was listening. So I was listening to it. It sounds great on SRN1.
Yeah, yeah. The
which
level
you're listening to right now, everybody. SRN1.
That is like so weird, and
it's so strange.
Yeah, because it's recording and it's. Now, what happened to this? I had to adjust all these. Oh, I don't know what you missed. I don't even know what happened. Were we doing that off the cuff mostly?
I don't think I could do that today. You know, I think we were just improvisation. We had this loose, in this loose plot line of the oil.
Loose.
Yeah.
You know what is a remarkable,
almost non-existent.
here's some history though that I think that's very fascinating. Now we can talk about it. The character of the that I played as the captain of the ship, his name is Leslie Nielsen.
Yes.
Now this is before Airplane. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's weird. It's.
Okay.
I don't know.
Because we're referring to him as the captain of the Titanic, and he was the guy who Leslie Nielsen played the captain in, what was the one that went upside down? What was the name of that movie?
Was it the Poseidon Adventure?
Yes.
Yeah. And because we also referenced some other actor who was really big at the time, who just died recently, as a matter of fact.
Who died? Gene Hackman's still alive, by the way.
Yeah, but I don't think I was.
We mentioned someone else?
Maybe, you know what? I'm sorry. I take it. I forget what I said,
okay,
everybody.
Okay.
Edit that out. Yes, referring to Gene Hackman, who's still alive.
But that's amazing to think that they're literally, oh boy, that was, anyway, that's one of the things that is in all of the other things that it is certainly not representative of everything we've done.
No, it isn't, but that was, we were certainly, obviously having a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, and you know what everyone is saying. Well, you know, they were snorting, they're on drugs, they're high. And people who are listening, I heard it. Hi, man, you were great. You know, but it's not true. Not true.
No, not at all.
And when we left, it just cracked up or broke the fourth wall. We just went on. Oh my goodness. That was, that is incredible. Those are, and someone else is in the background there.
I don't know. Maybe. Do you remember, was it a guy, was his name Dave, I think?
Dave?
At WPRB?
Oh, yeah, Dave.
I mean, WPRB,
Dave,
yeah.
Dave Cram?
Corman?
Corman or Croman?
Dave Corman.
Corman sounds right, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, I just remembered how we got the connection.
Okay, go.
He bought a subscription, I think, to Topical Paradise. Or
humor.
One of our joke things.
Ah, yes, yes.
Forgot about that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we didn't even get into that bit part of the business
because we were trying to rule the world at the time.
And we figured if we were having fun, other people were. And you know what? Here and there we were, because when we went to Princeton, we were on opposite. Now, they're not going to know this, but everyone knows the National Lampoon. Does everyone know? Kids probably only know it through movies. I guess.
Yeah, they probably.
When I say but kids.
On the radio. Yeah, a big radio show.
We were on opposite them on a commercial station and did very well. So there must have been people who were high.
This is
the second hour, and for sure we're gonna have to do more with this dead air stuff. Let us tell you, and we're gonna do more here now, whether Tom can hear it or not. Now he knows how he can.
Yes, so you don't even have to go crazy trying make me hear it.
Good.
I just clicked off the speaker of SRN1, and then I'll turn it on again when we're ready to roll.
Hey, raise your left hand when you hear a noise. Do you hear that?
Yes, but you can't see me raising my left hand.
Ah, well, that doesn't matter. I'll trust you. So,
unless Dusty the cameraman was here.
This is Cthulhu Chronicles, I just love, you know what I love about that also, how we're not stepping on each other's lines, because there ain't really no lines, you know?
Right, yeah.
We're just each one is trying to set up the next moment, and that becomes the moment. And that's what I meant about ADD, because I don't remember writing that down. Suddenly the ship, the guy comes in and he's some kind of Spanish guy.
Cuban. Or,
and then
then
he turns into Chico Marx. I don't know if I downloaded or put, do you remember what show Magnet? Or is that, it's probably not on a show, Magnet, then, is it?
Oh, Magnet. That was the parody of Dragnet.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? Where did we do it?
Yeah, where did it show up? I know the blurbs are great. Let me tell everyone right off the bat that this will be good too, because the next time, because people are listening, so the next time they may have downloaded some of the shows and heard them at their own. And now, wouldn't it be amazing if people start writing to me and going, you know, we downloaded those things and we play, and we can't hear them.
But the strange thing is, the visual on the on the audiograph shows that there's a sound going through.
Man, we're in the Twilight Zone here.
Yeah, speaking of which, at the end of, the episode called Future, you did a great Rod Serling.
You know, I heard that and I said, gee, I used to do Rod Serling. I didn't do a bad Jack Webb either for Magnet.
No, yeah, you would do Jack Webb.
I can't even imagine. I don't know where was that? Then, and you made a great. I'm sorry. I'm in my own world now, listening to stuff in my own head. I can move ahead here. So if you go to get SR1, here's what I don't know some, I don't remember some of these. I don't remember Clones. What was Clones about?
Clones. We were on our way to the studio to do Dead Air.
Shows within
shows. We were
driving
to the studio, and we were late. And we said, we're never going to make it. We're never going to make airtime. And you said, well, let's turn on the radio, see what they do to cover for us. And lo and behold, we were doing the show.
And it does sound acid induced. You got to admit, it does sound that.
yes. But, and then, of course, while we're driving to the studio and saying, hey, wait, who are these guys?
There were clones?
They were clones, you know. So.
Well, let's see how that starts then. Now, let me get that. You go listen wherever you can listen there.
Okay.
This is from the produced program, Dead Air. 1970 something. This is going to be a little bit easier to hear, not for Tom, but for you people.
I'm going to turn on the speaker here. So
okay, and I'm going to put on Clone. This is the episode called Clones. We'll play some of this here right now.
Well, It's 1 minute to airtime, and we're 50 miles away from the studio, wallowing in this midday traffic. And no matter how fast you drive, Tom, we'll never make it.
Maybe they'll run the theme a little longer to make up for our lateness.
Well, even if they run the theme for 2 minutes.
Well, that'll give us some extra time.
Why don't we just turn on the car radio and see what's happening?
And that's the news. Now stay tuned for Dead Air with Tom Savino and Frank Catullo right after this word.
Oh, good. There's a break. That'll give us another minute.
Okay. The whole middle. Okay.
Oh, only 40 miles left. At this rate, we'll be lucky to make the beginning of next week's show.
Oh, don't exaggerate, Frank. We'll make it before the end of this show.
What a good that does anybody. What are they going to do for the first half of the show?
Of course, there's a commercial
break. I'm sure our experienced staff will cover for us efficiently. But let's turn on the radio.
There's the theme. I wonder who's going to do the intro.
Probably Bob Kernutz.
Hey, wait a minute.
I can't. We'll be even later.
No, listen. That's us doing the intro.
Oh, see, I told you we'd make it.
Tom, how could we be at two places at once?
Simple. You're over there and I'm over here.
No, I mean the both of us together.
Got a point there.
It's Prudence.
Doesn't sound like her at all.
No, she's finally done it. She's hired imposters. Two guys that sound like us, but aren't.
Maybe they're clones.
Oh, you mean clowns?
No, clones. That's the process of taking one cell from a person and making an entire human being from that cell, exactly like that person.
Wow, two clones for two clowns. I don't remember this old country road en route to the studio before.
Shortcuts, Frank, that's the name of the game.
What's that?
A missing body.
Well, how do you know it's a missing body?
Well, he obviously was playing try and not get hit by a car.
Yeah?
He missed.
Oh, well, I think we ought to take him to a hospital or something.
Look, Frank, we've already wasted enough time with the missing body joke.
Yeah, but he's hurt.
Frank, it's only a radio traumatization.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're right.
We'll turn on the radio now, see what they're up to. Welcome to another exciting, heartwarming episode of Mel and Collie Baby, featuring Collie Baby the Wonder Dog, who not only reads, writes, and talks, but refuses to have her puppies paper trained on anything else but the London Times. We now join Collie Baby and her trusty pal and master, Mel Finkelstein, in another thrilling adventure.
Holy jumping croaking frogs, Collie Baby! It's Saturday, and Saturday means adventures up for Lindsay!
Come on, Mel. Let me sleep late this morning.
No chance, Collie Baby. We gotta go out and look for adventure.
Let me sleep. Besides, I have a piano lesson at 1 o'clock.
Look, here comes Forest Ranger Jones, and he's carrying a body over his shoulder. Golly, 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 gosh, this means adventure.
Ah, Mel, how's the folks?
Ah, just swell, Forest Ranger Jones. What are you doing with that body over your shoulder?
Oh, him. Strange thing, Mel, but I was driving along quietly, patrolling the area, and I saw this poor soul laying in the middle of the road.
Is he still alive?
I don't really know myself. I thought that maybe Collie Baby could check it out, being that she has a B.A. in physiology.
Wake up, Collie Baby! Forest Ranger Jones found the body, and he'd like you to see if it's still alive.
Feel its pulse.
He's not carrying one. I guess he's just got a wallet.
You just won't let me sleep, will you? Let me see this cloud. Say, this is Marcus Pye, the famous aerodynamics expert who was kidnapped last week.
How do you know that?
Don't you read the papers? Thank heavens he's still alive.
Wowee, holy, a kidnapped aero, whatchamacallit. This is an adventure.
What do we do with him?
Call a doctor. Get him to a hospital.
That's a good idea. You don't happen to know the number offhand, do you?
Call in your police car radio. This is an emergency.
Emergency nothing. This is an adventure.
Well, I wouldn't call it an adventure, Mel, but it sure is exciting finding this almost dead famous kidnapped person here in our quiet little county.
Will you stop that stuff? He's hurt bad.
Sure. I'll go right now. Say, Collie Baby, isn't today your piano lesson?
Collie Baby's doing Rachmaninoff now.
Will you call a doctor? Wait a minute. It's too late. He just stopped breathing.
Well, it's better off. The poor fellow was suffering so. I gotta go.
You're going to look for the kidnapper murderer?
Yeah, but after lunch. Bernie's Diner's having a special on carrot soup, and I'd like to get there while there's still some left.
What an adventure! A famous somebody dies right in front of us, and after lunch, we'll search for the murderer.
Mel, I do believe your brain functioning is circumscribed.
Do they do that to brains too, Collie baby?
Forget it.
Be with us again next time for another chill-packed episode of Mel and Collie Baby.
Okay, I you there?
Yes.
I don't know how much explanation this needs.
So you see how we weave the dead body that we passed on the road into the episode of Mel and Collie Baby. I really think we really did a good job on all the Mel and Collie Babies.
The thing that people should know is if, you know, it's amazing that I have to explain this. Mel is a character, Collie Baby is a dog, and yet there are people out there who don't understand, if you put them together, Melancholy Baby. They don't get it. It still works, but the other thing that I noticed when I listened to this, aside from the fact that that must have been early on, because they didn't yell, the mother didn't yell for them to come home. They were home already, right?
That's right. And she didn't do her signature, the signature ending.
Which no one would get. Except that it was...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But listen, this is amazing. This is well before death became funny in a... I mean, you know, there was something... We did these things that now are so... They're in cartoons for kids now. People die, they get dismembered, they curse. And no one had done this on the radio... In this little skit, which, by the way, any of you people who might know, if you hear some history of content, if you remember Mr. Peabody, which was a cartoon, I forgot his name, but a cartoon, same people who did Bullwinkle and Rocky and them, a cartoon, and the dog was smart and the kid was dumb. Dumb, but he was just a, you know, nerdy little kid. Before there were nerds. In this case, Collie Baby and that incredible voice that you have to listen to, but Tom, literally, I never look at a dog and I hear him talking from the rest of my life. Hearing this dog talk, and the kid is so stupid compared to the dog. I mean, these are like, they're completely, you know, these are like, but anyway, it is kind of Mr. Peabody. And it's also a Lassie. Now, and I don't even know if kids know Lassie.
Yeah, I bet people don't.
Wow.
You know? Wow.
And we can't do everything.
All these Rin Tin Tin, Lassie.
This is why you people need to write this. Write this down. Write these names.
Write it in the notebook there.
Write them
and
down.
And by the way, the voice of Collie Baby, the Wonder Dog, was, I got that voice. Mm-hmm. Friends, you're going to think, oh, sure, this is, yeah, bullshit. But no, really, I got that voice from Tom Martin's French poodle, the large French poodle he had.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
His French poodle said, Mama.
That's right.
Mama.
Mama. The dog said Mama.
Yes.
And you imitated him.
I did. I said, you know, that's... A talking dog.
And and that became, you're a dog, a Collie Baby.
That became the voice of Collie Baby, yes.
So you see, friends, my pop culture, oriented audience, you see, this is all neo-postmodernism. There are things that, there are things we know and like and they go through us and they're translated as something else. That's neo-postmodernism. So we took Lassie, we took all that stuff, put it together, and made it into another form. And people who don't know the origins or roots, you know, it's like listening. It's like kids listening today to, I got to think of somebody. I don't even know if there's a rock and roll guy anymore. Well, if they're listening to, let's say, Bruce Springsteen, who's already old, right? Let's say he gets up and he does a song called Reelin' and Rockin'. And nobody knows about Chuck Berry, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No less. Somebody might stand up and say, you know, that's an old Rolling Stones song. Because, you know, they don't know. So you got to look at the roots of all these things. So if you write these, and Lassie, what's Lassie? Now you're going to have to go back, you know, and see that there was this champion dog, this beautiful dog that saved Tommy from his well. I think it would even name was Tommy.
Timmy, I think it was Timmy.
Timmy. But he wasn't Timmy Schwartz.
No.
But he was
not.
Mel Finkelstein. This also was the first time a young Jewish boy ever had a part.
Mel Finkelstein.
And a forest ranger who had no name, just called him Forest Ranger Jones.
Forest Ranger Jones. There was one episode where there was another forest ranger, a friend of Forest Ranger
really?
Jones.
Really? Wow.
But actually, I think he was only referred to. I don't think there was not another actor playing Forest Ranger.
Wow.
They just referred to him.
I think it's important that when you people listen to this, it might be a little confusing at first, but as you can see, as Tom said, the show, as ADD as it was, because here we're talking about a dead body, so we go down this rabbit hole, and the presented sketch has a dead body in it. Now I'm sure there are other bodies in it, because you're talking about clones. And I don't know, maybe this was the first time clones ever appeared in a comedy sketch, any kind of comedy thing, right?
That's very well possible. Now I think Woody Allen did something about clones. Not sure if it was a joke or was it
Sleeper.
A movie he did?
In Sleeper.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was before this or after this, but it doesn't. Yeah. Okay. But that was in the future somewhere. But yeah, there wasn't much. Let's just put it that way. Normally there weren't any dead people on radio. You see a lot of people. I know, and I told this to my son who, you know, writes stuff and does theater things. Ray, right? And I told him, I said, Ray, listen, if you perform or write something and do it in front of, and let's say you don't get the greatest response you expect. If someone comes up to you and says, you know why they didn't get it? Because you're ahead of your time. I said, at that point, become a carpenter or a plumber.
Yeah.
Because they'll never catch up with you. Look at us. We're sitting here talking about this stuff, and we're telling you the facts. This stuff is documented as being that old. We're not patting ourselves on the back or anything. And we don't have big houses and royalties or nothing to show for it. In fact, you can get
nothing
free.
Nothing.
And yet we can see how this stuff developed from how, you know, we were doing it. And people didn't truly understand it. And you know what? That's about ADD too. People couldn't keep up with this stuff. 23 minutes. And it just never let up.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I think you would be pleased to hear that I tweeted this yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Tweeted the announcement to it. But I sent about just a half a dozen people a direct tweet about the first episode of Dead Air Floods, which has just come out on Juice Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And a person wrote back to me. She was a former student of mine, a former high school student, now college age young lady.
A millennial.
She said, oh, that was really great. She said, I actually had to kind of hear it was hard to recognize who you were, you know, your voice is much different now. And she said, but when are there other episodes? I would like to hear the other episodes. So
the delineation is there. It's not as even, well, I mean, I think you could hear how it was constructed. And, that's why only recently did I come up with that idea of ADD, because the same topic, you know, jumps off into another form of discussion about it or another level. In this case,
yeah.
I know there's other clones on this. If we went on, if I could go, let me move on to something and just see if.
And one administrative assistant.
Now, what does your celebration Hello? Reflect upon and tell okay, us well, about? I... Tell us about some of the exhibits.
I must agree.
I don't know what.
You want me to get a shot of that locomotive Hello? That just crashed through
Hi,
the wall
I'm
of the
studio?
Never mind that, Dusty. Just get a shot of the real stuff.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You here? You hear me? You couldn't hear that.
Yes.
You couldn't hear that.
No. And I put it, I couldn't even hear.
Me?
I couldn't even hear it on SRN1. Let me see. Let me put SRN1.
Well, there's a delay, isn't there? A delay?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, we'll just talk more about it and, we'll let people go and get these things. Now, like Tom is saying, the first produced, and let's talk about this. We got time. We still have time. And then the first produced, totally produced, Dead Air show available to radio stations was picked up. We gave one away for free, right? And said, hey, play it. Make money.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if your people like it and you make a couple of bucks, then buy the rest of the series.
Right.
So, the one that is available, and I don't know how did you remember the order? Of the ones that exist,
I just went with the order of the as they appeared on the tape, the order of the tapes, and then the order as each one appeared on the tape. There's about three on each tape, on each reel.
And it says there 1, 2, 3, or this was
short? No, they didn't say 1, 2, 3, but it said floods and
okay.
And there was the mix up of initially when I told you and Dee that first episode I just sent out without working on the audio, that was I said it was nostalgia, but then I looked at the box and it said future. So
when I heard that one, I went, wasn't this called? This was called nostalgia. I didn't, you know.
Well, you did. Yeah.
But I didn't know. I didn't remember exactly. But what I'm telling everyone is that how are these things coming out on Juice Talk? Once a week?
The first one came out, and then they're coming out. I'm not sure if Dee said it once a week or two a week, but I think the Dee's going to put up the banner on Juice Talk this weekend. So, but if you have that direct link that's available for the floods, you can hear it now.
If you go to Juice Talk and it says shows, it says, or cat, right, it says show, or whatever it is, and you go down on that, contents there, you know, click and it shows you a menu drop. I don't even know what these things are called. How many years have I been doing this? and you'll see the shows. It'll say Cthulhu Chronicles. It'll say Savino Veritas. It'll say The Fabulous D. And then you'll see Dead Air. So you just go to that page right now. I think that's the only way until it's up in the front of it with the rest of the other, with the shows. But anybody can go there between now and the next time this show is on. You could go and get those shows.
Yes.
And
yes,
I want to make an announcement too to all the other stations who might be listening or pick up this show. Whoever picks up this show, you know, I'm always telling them to pick up your shows too, Tom. You may never know. You're on a lot of stations. You don't even know because they just take it, you know, unless people write in. That's why I always give an email address. But those, stations that are listening right now who rerun this, it's only live, of course, on SRN and then the rest of the week. If you can get the shows, the Dead Air shows as they come out or put them all together from Juice Talk. And if you want, I or Tom or I and Tom will make you little liners that can introduce them and say, hey, and here and now from the 70s, here's Tom and Frank. And then you'll say something and we'll do stupid stuff. And then they'll be able to play it. So you can have it and play it. And that's bound to get the attention of some people because they'll be going, what the hell is that?
And then, I think it would be great. By the way, I heard from Phil that, today he wants them all. And he's going to air them during the holidays.
So there, we're going to be on SRN also. See?
Yeah.
for that. They have that holiday programming that goes on, I think, I don't know, 24 hours or I don't know. It's a bunch of weeks of stuff.
Yeah.
SRN, which is turning 19 years old.
Wow.
And I've been there for, I've been using their headquarters, as a port for 12 years.
Wow.
I know that's long enough. Well, I mean, we're talking about and listening to us in the 70s is crazy.
Yeah, it's really, it's been a trip for me. I tell you, a trip down, I was going to say a trip down memory lane, but it's more than that. It was like really, it's kind of good to hear. I had the same feeling you did initially. It's like, oh, this is going to be corny or I'm not going to like it. It's what I'm, you know, but I really liked it. Yeah.
There are still ones I have to listen to and they're so fresh to me. There's just moments. That I hear things. So I would imagine people who never heard anything. And you know, you gotta be a little bit patient. You've never heard anything like this. You may have heard things that are like this, as I mentioned, when whatever, but you've never heard anything like this, because there's never been anything like this. Now, the reason nobody ever heard anymore of this, because this carefully designed and produced at great, and literally expense, because we were partners with the producers, and the show that is on available right now, the first one, as Tom said, is called Floods, and it has a theme with the, because this is a show within a show within a show. So what you do is you listen to us doing the show, and we introduce the characters, and they come in, but other things happen and go in, and plus there's a storyline of some sort that starts from the people who do the show as,
yes,
you know, and goes to the end.
And, one of the regular characters on the show is Dusty the cameraman, who refuses to accept that this is a radio show, and he thinks it's a television show. So he's, taking shots of flood water rushing into the studio and archaeologists coming through the wall from the future.
That's another one. That's, I was telling a couple of people the other day at lunch when I was telling them it's going to be on, you got to listen, you got to download stuff. We found them, Tom fixed them. So, and I was trying to explain, I know the synopsis of, you know, what is, and even you give a synopsis, it doesn't necessarily, explain all the content. There's just too much in there. Now you wrote some really good blurbs that appear underneath the downloads, right? Yeah.
Yes, I did. It was kind of wacky doing the blurbs because the show is so, wild, but, I think I pieced them together okay.
Yeah, yeah. And once people listen, they'll give them an idea of where they could go if they want to go back and hear one thing or another. You can't like everything, but for God's sakes, there's so much there. It's hard to believe that something doesn't stick to the wall of your mind. Okay, back to the first show. The first show, the one that's up there now, Floods, was the one we gave to radio stations for nothing so that they could play it, sell some time on it, and then they would go, yeah, hey, this is great. Let's get the rest of the series. And then hopefully we would sell the series and then do another year and another, whatever would happen. Okay.
Yeah.
Because in those days, radio, believe it or not, people, because there's no streaming podcast, nothing. This was radio going over the air onto machines, little machines, and in cars.
Yeah.
Where radio, you pick it up on an antenna. I don't know how to explain this to people. You know, but but here's what happened.
Yeah, our luck too. Yeah.
There's really no way to describe a situation that is so badly timed. There's no way to do that, because there was no way to even predict what would happen. But here, and we picked, of the shows we had, we picked Floods at random, right? We thought it was just a good one.
Yeah.
Represent. Yeah. And, so this show, so I was telling them, this is a show where we're doing our show, and, while we're doing this show called Dead Air, there's a leak on the roof from, this leak will eventually lead to, a massive flood that takes the studio, but it doesn't just take the studio. It affects America. This is a flood so large starting, in the Midwest.
Yes. In fact, it affects South America. I mean, it affects, North America and Mexico.
So this is biblical proportions, my friend. There's a rain that's really literally, you could look back and you go like, well, is this? Yeah, this is the same kind of flood. Okay. This is the biblical flood is happening because it's raining so much. And in, and the center of, well, Nebraska.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm describing it this way. Come on. Nebraska, but this is what happens. Okay. Nebraska, becomes unhinged. From its, the state of Nebraska. Yeah. Those of you listening around the world, you might be in Nebraska. I don't know, people chasing buffalo in South Dakota there, whatever. You know, this, Nebraska becomes unhinged as a state. And, as, you know, it's as if it's a piece in a jigsaw puzzle, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. So think of the map, as a jigsaw puzzle and as if the entire country were one giant jigsaw puzzle and Nebraska would float up from the flood and float down south to join Mexico.
It goes to Mexico. The state of Nebraska floats down, because this is, I mean, these, I said, you know, we're talking about big flood, floats down. This is the show now we're talking about. In this fictional world of our minds, goes to Mexico, and it literally joins.
Yes.
What is the word for that? I mean, what would that be?
It merges.
Yeah, the state of Nebraska merges. Because this is the only way they could deal with it. Because Mexico is Mexico, you know. It this really, you know. So here comes another state. Here comes more territory, and it goes into Mexico, and so Mexico and America decide to make it what, one place,
one territory. Yeah, it's one called Nebrexico.
Because you know it's Nebraska and Mexico, and it becomes Nebrexico. Now I don't remember how you and I, do we float down there? Is that the current? Do we float?
We float, although it wasn't, we didn't focus on it. Somehow we wound up in Nebraska. And, the governor, besides floating down, there's a whole new political and governmental system.
Yeah, it's put together very quickly too, I mean.
And the governor of Nebraska introduces us on stage for a speaking, a gig speaking to the large crowds of Nebraska. And, we're both assassinated.
It's more
on
death.
On stage.
More death. It's.
Yeah. We're both assassinated on stage. And, the ending of that episode, Floods, there's a dirge-like music, and it's our funeral procession, and a radio announcer is describing the saddened faces of the crowd watching us as, you know, we're in our coffins and being taken to our final resting place until the announcer interviews us.
And oh, yeah, we got about final words.
Yeah. There's some interesting comments in that interview, too, about, you know, we got kind of political, going back to the 60s, because they were doing jokes about the Kennedy assassination.
And who was doing jokes about, or even insinuating that back then? Because now you go like, what, too soon? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we were insinuating the fact that it was some kind of conspiracy. I think you said, I thought I saw another gun somewhere. So if you knew some history, like, you know, when did it happen? And we don't know who did it, and they know who did it. And I don't even remember why. I mean, we weren't responsible for the flood. Why did they shoot us?
Yeah, right. And of course, this is the Angie Tribeca kind of, no need for reason.
We're just going to go this way.
Yeah.
And yeah. And there, you know, and that brings up another point in terms of jokes and humor. And that is that the humor, as it, you know, takes place lots of times, outside of the very story and the stream of the story. The one I'm thinking of is when I listen to Magnet, I couldn't, there's something that happens, in Los Angeles, something that happens in the La Brea Tar Pits.
Yeah.
Remember? And, the La Brea Tar Pits, you know, no, they said something happened in the tar pits. And, someone said the La Brea Tar Pits. And someone who didn't understand that said, what tar pits?
Yeah. They're little hard things in the center of fruits.
Right. Now that's a thing that everyone's going to go like, well, come on, that's airplane. Don't call me Shirley. Yeah. Right. But it's like, no,
right.
You know, it's like, wait a second. And then, and you know, as if that was the starting point. And we weren't even the starting point of such madness, because we go back to, you know, listening to Bob and Ray and God, I almost forgot his name. And now I forgot the other guys, the other morning guys. But I mean, we go back to, you know, way before that, but people now would look back and say, well, that's that. And there are people now, you know, maybe 15, 20 years from now going to go, oh, that's that. That's Angie Tribeca stuff. But the jokes, a lot of the jokes that were inside of these particular stories, because they were stories and they did have beginnings and middles and ends, things would come up. That's what I mean about it's ADD, because it's just, you know, you just move away from the stream of things, and telling a story, which where every scene is supposed to move the story along. Not so, we said. No, we're going to stop right here. And it's like the courtroom scene in Mason Dixon. You know, it goes right back. And there've been there's the famous Marx Brothers, courtroom scene, in Duck Soup, which of course Woody Allen took when he did, Take the Money and Run, and he did his, and there's a number of other court, Abbott Costello did courtroom scene stuff, and then there's us doing that, courtroom stuff, and it's just outrageous, and it doesn't move. It stops the story and it says, now listen to this. So it's always, you're not just breaking the fourth wall. If there is a fifth wall, which is the consciousness of keeping track, it's broke, you know, it's broken completely. But Floods. Okay. So back to Floods. Tell them what happened. So a station in the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah. Ironically, they were real hot on the show. They wanted to do it and, they couldn't do it because of the flooding, the real flooding in the Midwest.
There was a year, and like I said, we don't remember what year, but that year there was terrible flooding in the area where they wanted, and we had chosen, like I said, completely at random, this show.
Yep.
Yeah. And they're like, you know, we can't do this. We can't make fun of this. It's like there are people without homes now. There are people, their cars are 20 feet underwater. There's people, places ruined. And then we're going to put this thing on the radio. It's like, hey, take your mind off of it. Listen to this. Word in those days, word got around very quickly in radio. Everybody knew everybody else and what was going and new projects. Word got around, and we really weren't given a big, there was a lot of product out there, but we weren't given much of a chance to say, well, look, we got four others, you know, all right, so the time, and then you imagine them, put yourself in their place, they're going like, oh, great, now you're going to do one where some very special person dies and you just heard pieces of clones where you find a guy and then this guy dies and then you know, yeah, right. And we're going to be making fun of that. You know, forget it. We'll lose sponsors. We'll lose listeners. They'll look, oh my, we just, today, none of that, nothing. I mean, the young guys who do the monologues on all these late night shows now, they do worse jokes.
They do what jokes? I'm sorry.
Worst jokes about current events and people. And they name names. We don't even name names.
Yeah, they definitely do. Yeah.
So
things have changed.
Yeah. Remarkable.
But you know, now we got, you know, presidents or president elects who say, grab my pussy or grab your pussy or, you know, so things are, the whole society has changed. We say whatever the fuck we want. Can I say fuck on?
Sure you can.
I just did.
We have a parental guidance and that starts off the show. But kids wouldn't, we wouldn't be able to hold any interest from young people, those young people. Yeah. They're on their phones right now, the ones who are really young.
Yeah, young.
This is Gattolo Chronicles. Tom Savino's with me. He's going to return with Savino Veritas, his inspiring and yet funny, humorous show. You have a lot planned for this season in your mind?
Yes. It's a lot of, so far it's turning out to be self-therapy.
Well,
but you know, I mean, a lot of the show is political, so it's a great time for politics.
It is. I told some. I had the unfortunate, and maybe some of you people heard this because they know Jiggy Jaguar or whatever. I had the unfortunate situation of being on at the this four station network hookup of internet people who internet, I don't know, what are we, celebrity, I don't know, personalities, let's call ourselves, talkers. And Jiggy, I did it for Jiggy Jaguar because he's, you know, a friend of mine, and he said, yeah, come on, co-host this stuff, we're going to have a couple of guys you know, a couple of guys you don't know. And so I wound up being, I was like the only guy there. Everyone else was just, Tom, they came after me. They came in.
Oh, wow. I thought it was going to be balanced. I would have been with you if I'd known that.
I know. I looked for balance and there was nothing. And I didn't know it was going to be this imbalanced. But I'll tell you the thing that's, and so I spent that evening, being very clever and trying to make it a little more entertaining as opposed to the, you know, it's the end of the world. And I mean, the end of the world if they don't win. These are very, you know, conservative radio, and it goes really crazy on the internet too. You know, it gets nutty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they don't take it, they took it so serious. It was so serious that they were just after me, all of them, and they did not say thing. And, I tried to make jokes. You know, they were talking about rigged. I'll just give you one idea. They were talking about rigged in the beginning before anyone knew how it was going to, you know, sway or go that far over to the right. These guys were going along with the whole it's fixed thing. Can you imagine the fun we'd have with Dead Air today with this stuff?
Oh God.
No mercy. Yeah. No mercy. And they said, you know, there were reports of people who are punching the top where you, you know, vote a straight Republican line. There's that X on the top and you know, vote. I said, well, what they do is they push that and it automatically went over to the Democrats. Now there were three or four machines in Pennsylvania that were crazy that way. And they took them away. They just didn't work. And they did that. I didn't know that, but these guys were and I was asking them, how do you fix this entire thing? I was asking them these questions and I was getting knocked down. But I said, you know, that stranger should say that because I'm in Pennsylvania and I went and I poked the one that's a Democratic, you know, vote the entire Democratic line and I voted for Romney. Now you hear that laugh you just did?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like dead. You want to talk about dead air, dead silent? There was nothing. Then nothing. They didn't get it. They didn't want to get it. They thought I was making fun of them. Everybody took it personally. It was a horrible place to be that night.
Oh God.
I'm telling you, it was crazy. And these guys do not, they definitely don't like me even for making fun of it. But you have, your show will definitely follow as it does. As serious as you are about all this stuff, but it's not, you know, he's not Alex. He's not Alex Jones, you know. Tom.
Yeah. Tom Savino. No. Wow.
And Savino Veritas will be back. When exactly are you?
December 1st.
Oh, okay. So December 1st. December 1st.
Yeah.
Now the other thing I want to tell everybody else, in case you don't know, and I'll tell you next week too, is that this year. The show after December 1st, because that's a Thursday night, is December 8th.
Right. And, which is your birthday.
Exactly. And we're going to have a little birthday party here. And we're going to have Mr. Bill Minnick is going to be here. Bill Bostick, who has directed a bunch of my shows. If you're around, Tom, or if you're going to do a show that night, maybe you could drop by on Skype or what have you. And there's going to be some people here. And we're going to talk about whatever we talk about. But it's going to be a group to celebrate my birthday. Because it happened a couple of, I don't know how many years, 8 years, 4 years back. So we're going to have some. So the birthday show, which coming up the 8th. Tom comes back on the 1st. That's the week before. We'll be here on the 1st. I don't know what we'll be doing then. What else haven't I mentioned here that I got to mention before we go on here for whatever time we have left? And that's all. Everything else. Everybody else knows where to go. Go get the books. Go get the things. Go get stuff. And Tom, tell them about your where to get your tintinabulation blog. Your blog.
Topical tweets and titillations.
There you go.
At savinoveritas.blogspot.com, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, .blogspot.com.
savinoveritas.blogspot.com.
And so you could read some stuff from Tom there. And then, of course, look for Savino Veritas. Listen for it. You can look for it. Well, you can look for it and see it. Tom has 85,000 followers on Twitter. So you could be one of them if you follow at TJ Savino.
TJ Savino.
At
Twitter or at TJ Savino Twitter.
So you can be one of those and he will pay attention. He pays attention to every one of his 85,000.
I do.
He does.
I really do. I say, that's why I'm so busy.
He responds to them. They talk to him, and there's pictures. And
yeah, it's been going so well there lately that because I really used to personally write a little. I mean, just a little. Thank you for following me. Yeah. Thank you for the follow. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the. But lately, it's been so getting so many followers. I just follow them back. I don't say thank you, but thank you everybody for following me.
And once in a while, if they, you can respond to them and you can retweet.
I can. Absolutely.
See, on Tom's Twitter account, all the things you've come to know and love about Twitter and its attractions can be utilized. So go, right? So you could retweet your tweet. You could, you could ask questions, you could post things, and as long as you put that at TJ Savino thing there, it gets to hundreds of thousands. By now, it could be hundreds of thousands by now.
Yeah, in the time we've been speaking, it could maybe 150,000.
And what
a certain president-elect actually followed me. This was before he was.
Was it the real one? 'Cause I don't know.
Yes, the real Donald Trump or Air Trump. But I blocked him.
You blocked
him. I did.
No, but he
don't want him following me.
Yeah, because what he does
is creepy following. He's creepy following Hillary around the stage like that.
Because there are ways where you could follow someone and then that way you can get to all those people that person follows, right?
Yes. But, I don't think most of the people who follow him would be the people that would be following me.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not as active as Mr. Savino on the Twitter thing with various stuff. I'm active inside of an industry, but that's and other things. And once in a while, toss in a joke. I don't even go to Facebook that much anymore. I don't have. I found that I have. A limited, interest in, what many people have to say about anything and what they had for dinner or,
yeah,
or that it's the birthday of their second son or their kid's first kid tooth fell out, you know. So
I'm on Instagram too, but that's the thing what you just mentioned is the thing I don't like about Instagram is like, oh, here's another smoothie. It's a strawberry smoothie. Here's a picture of it. Okay.
Now I have Instagram only. I don't have a phone, a smartphone.
I just have a stupid little text phone, and so I don't have a need for it. So I have Instagram on my laptop, but I can look. You become a voyeur, but I can't put up pictures.
You can't?
No, not on Instagram. You can't participate.
I do it on my computer. I do it on my Mac. I don't. I rarely use my phone for it.
They have it for Mac. Huh? They're just now starting to. Because everybody uses, phones. But I don't, I don't have any pictures on Instagram, but, I may, or I may not. I don't know. My history with this whole contraption, was all, promotion in the beginning, because that's why this started. So I don't, I have some friends here and there, but I don't know. Anyway, we're getting close to the end of this show, and we're going to have to do this again.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's still the season.
Yeah, or maybe you could do it on my show where I could actually play the audio
and hear them
through the directly.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Because you have some time in December or January, whatever, and we'll go on, and you can play some stuff and pick it up, and we'll do it the other way around. Probably sound better. It's a Mac after all. and I got all these mics. I mean, I'm still like running in a certain way. I'm still analog, more analog than anything.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. But, so we'll do that. And then next week, people, it'll be Thanksgiving next week. And if, I'll be here in the evening. I'm going to talk about Popular Mechanics, which is still a magazine. Do you have any idea that it's still out there? A physical magazine. Yeah. And one day out of the blue, for no reason whatsoever, I get a subscription.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean like you didn't subscribe?
Never. And it's happening with a lot of magazines now because they want to pick up numbers. So they're giving away the magazine and you get on a list or something. They don't charge you because they have to, they want their numbers to support selling advertising, So, but anyway, it is fascinating, I think, in pop culture and just culture in general, how Popular Mechanics, which is entirely devoted to hands-on analog things, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's changed. Remarkable. And I'm going to be talking about it and going through some of the magazines, so you could digest your Thanksgiving dinner. We'd be there. And then the week after that, I have no idea. What am I? Oh, then Tom comes back on the first. And I'll be.
Right. I'll be back on the first. And then December 8th is your birthday.
Then we'll have the birthday. And we'll just move towards, the end where, the Artist D comes on and we're doing, the Bone Garden.
That's right. You do that.
Roll
now.
Call.
Every.
From the Bone Garden. I wonder why this says, this is strange. 1 hour? How could this just be 1 hour, 30 minutes? How could I have 30 minutes left to 2 hours if I've been on since? This is very strange what's happening.
You have less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, I know, but why does the stream time say 1:30? Wait, 1 hour, we're on 30 minutes and an hour. I've been on longer than an hour. This is very.
Yeah, we're almost 2 hours.
Yeah, and it's been recording for 2 hours. What is this up to? 157. Okay, I have no idea what that's all about, but the point is this. Thank you, Tom, for tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
You stay well. I'm going to be listening to more stuff. We'll come up with more questions, more stories, and we'll talk about them on your show, and then we'll come again here and tell everyone to get over to Juiced Talk.
Will do.
In the meantime, I'll be in touch, and we're going to make it through this. You know what I'm talking about. You and I have been through, I think maybe we've even been through worse. We don't know yet, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I do. And I think we will be through it. Yeah.
In the meantime, then I'm going to hit my theme and go. Good night, Tom. Thanks for now. And, we'll be in touch.
Good night, everybody.
And don't forget, Tom, a Canadian Mountie is your friend. And, if you see him on the street and you're in trouble, ask him for help. And then you said what?
And I said, I forgot what it was. What did I say on Dead Air?
Don't let gravity.
Wherever you go, that's where you are.
That's right. Wherever you go, that's where you are. Don't let gravity get you down. Isn't that awesome? Something.
I don't know.
I thought you said that. I don't know.
Well, we're going to go back and get some sleep. Good night, Tom.
Good night.
Talk to you, sir. And as for all you people, I got to tell you this much. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show and the show. Cotolo Chronicles, talking about the show, Dead Air. Go to juicedtalk.com, find Dead Air, download it. It's free, and it will be more episodes and more things coming up. It'll sound a lot better when it's in your ears. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be located. I'm going to leave right now and leave you all to your lives. And, for God's sake, laugh, you know? Laugh. Laugh through it all. Smile, though your heart. I'll leave you now because, Tom and me and anyone involved with the show had nothing more to say.